News 18 Daybreak. The perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sengupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. In a massive operation, the Delhi Police's special cell on Tuesday busted a Pakistan-organized terror module with the arrest of 6 men, including 2 Pak ISI-trained terrorists, officials said. The terrorists were allegedly planning several blasts across the country, including Delhi, Uttar Pradesh and Maharashtra, during the upcoming festivals of Ganesh Chaturthi, Navratri and Ram Leela, they said. Police said that Pakistan-based Anis Ibrahim, who is the brother of Daud Ibrahim, was connected with the underworld operatives to execute the terror plan. Interrogation has revealed that Pakistan terror module was being operated through 2 components, via underworld and the Pak ISI-trained terror module, they said. The accused, identified as Jan Muhammad Sheikh, 47, alias Samir, Osama, 22, Mool Chand, 47, Zeeshan Kamar, 28, Muhammad Abu Bakr, 23, and Muhammad Amir Javed, 31, were arrested following raids in Delhi and parts of Uttar Pradesh, police said. Among the arrested, Osama and Kamar are Pakistan-trained terror operatives working under the instructions of Pakistan's inter-services intelligence. They were asked to conduct the reconnaissance of different suitable locations in Delhi and Uttar Pradesh for placing IEDs, police said. Addressing the press conference, Special Commissioner of Police, Special Cell, Neeraj Kumar Thakur said, "In a multi-state operation, we have arrested 6 persons, including 2 Pakistan-trained terrorists. 2 among them, Osama and Kamar, had gone to Pakistan for training this year, following which they returned to India." Police said they got inputs from central agencies that a Pak abetted and sponsored group of entities is planning to execute serial IED blasts in India. With the help of human and technical surveillance, it was found that the network was spread across various states. On Tuesday, we conducted raids simultaneously in different states, and initially, the first accused, Sheikh, was apprehended from near Kota in Rajasthan while he was on a train on the way to Delhi, Thakur said. Later, Osama was nabbed from Delhi's Okhla and Bakar from Sarai Kalikha, while Kamar was apprehended from Allahabad, Javed from Lucknow and Moolchand from Rai Bareli in close coordination with the UP anti-terrorist squad team, the officer said. The arrest of the 4 accused has exposed the nexus of the Pakistan's ISI-sponsored and trained terror modules with underworld operatives and averted a slew of serial blasts and targeted killings in Delhi, Uttar Pradesh, Maharashtra and other states in India, said Deputy Commissioner of Police Special Cell Pramod Singh Kushwaha. Explosives and firearms were recovered from Allahabad in Uttar Pradesh in a multi-state operation, he added. Police said that the arrested men were tasked separately to execute different aspects of the terror plan. The underworld operative Samir, a close contact of Anis Ibrahim, was tasked by a Pak-based person connected with the underworld operatives hiding in Pakistan to ensure smooth delivery of improvised explosive devices, sophisticated weapons and grenades to different entities in India. Anis was acting on the behest of Pak ISI, and the underworld component was entrusted with 2 tasks, including transportation of arms and explosives and terror funding through Hawala channels, said Kushwaha. Interrogation revealed that Osama had left for Muscat on April 22 by Salam Air flight from Lucknow, and after reaching there, he met Kamar, who had also come from India to join the training, said the senior police officer. From Muscat, the duo was taken via sea route to Jioni town near Gwadar port in Pakistan, from where they were taken to a farmhouse in Tata in Pakistan, he said. They lived with 3 Pakistani nationals in the farmhouse. 2 of them, Jabbar and Hamza, gave them training, who they claimed are from Pakistan Army as they wore military uniforms, Kushwaha said. The 2 men were given 15 days training in making bombs, IEDs and committing arson with the help of items of daily use. They were also trained in handling and using firearms and AK-47, he said. Interrogation has also revealed that after reaching Muscat, they were also joined by 15 to 16 Bengali-speaking people suspected to be from Bangladesh, who were later divided into subgroups while Osama and Kamar were placed in 1 group for training, police said. Several sophisticated RDX-based IEDs, grenades, pistols and cartridges were transported from Pakistan via the underworld connect, with these were sent to Uttar Pradesh for safe concealment. Sheikh, along with Moolchand, was tasked to hand it over to terror operatives in Delhi, Mumbai and other parts of the country, they said. Explosives and IEDs were to be used in heavy footfall areas during the upcoming festivities or at large gatherings, while it is suspected that the imported pistols and ammunition transported via Pakistan were to be used for the targeted killings, police said. All the accused will be produced before a Delhi court on Wednesday and police will seek their 14 days custody for further investigation, they said. A red alert was sounded in Gujarat for Wednesday as many parts of the state are expected to receive heavy to extremely heavy rains over the next 2 to 3 days as the monsoon in its end phase gets vigorous over the western coast. After rains lashed Jamnagar and Rajkot on Monday, it was the turn of Junagarh on Tuesday to receive a deluge with around 100 mm to over 150 mm of rainfall in the entire district. According to the India Meteorological Department, heavy to very heavy rains at isolated places with isolated extremely heavy rains will continue in Junagarh. Heavy to very heavy rains are also very likely at isolated places in the districts of Surat, Dangs, Navsari, Valsar, Tapi in South Gujarat, as well as the Union Territory of Daman and Dadra and Nagar Haveli, and in the districts of Rajkot, Amreli, Bhavnagar, Gir Somnath and the Union Territory of Diu in Saurashtra on Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. In view of the predictions of heavy rains, the National Disaster Response Force have deployed a total of 15 teams. Two teams each have been deployed in Jamnagar and Rajkot and one each in Valsar, Surat, Navsari, Gir Somnath, Amreli, Bhavnagar, Junagarh, Botard and Morbi. One team each has been kept in reserve at Gandhinagar and Vadodara. In the Weather Watch group meeting at the State Emergency Operation Control on Tuesday, the Agriculture Department said that sowing has been carried out in 82.83 lakh hectares, which is 96.82% of the 3 years average of Kharif crop sowing. Karnataka Chief Minister Basavaraj Bommai has directed his officials to not act in a hurry to demolish temples and other religious structures that have been built illegally. The move came after the government came under heavy flak, both from its own party men and opposition leaders from the Congress and JDS, for not taking locals into confidence before taking up demolition work. A show cause notice has also been issued to the Mysore DC and Tehsildar for having acted in haste in bringing down an illegal temple in Nanjangud in Mysore district 5 days ago, a video of which was tweeted by party MP Pratap Simha with the question, "Who did this temple harm?" Many Hindu organizations have also taken up this issue on social media, and it has struck a sensitive chord for the government that is now in damage control mode. Clear guidelines will be issued after a detailed study of the Supreme Court order and discussions in the cabinet meeting. The details will be put forth in the legislature, Bommai told newsmen after a meeting on Tuesday. The issue had taken political overtones after Hindu groups questioned the demolition and the opposition Congress took pot shots at the government not being able to rein in its own fringe groups affiliated to its own party. BJP government in the centre and in the state, also Nanjangud, has both MLA and MP from BJP. Here, Pratap Sinha is ranting about the demolition of temples. Ridiculous that a BJP MP has to resort to press meets instead of talking to his own party leaders. BJP versus BJP, the new drama, tweeted AICC spokesperson Lavanya Balal. Others in the Congress also spoke out on the sidelines of the legislature session. Former CM and JDS leader HD Kumaraswamy told the government to consider filing an appeal in the apex court. Incidentally, the exercise to remove illegal religious structures began based on a Supreme Court order of 2009. While not much action had been taken for long, the Karnataka High Court pulled up the government and the Chief Secretary in particular about not acting on the order for many years. It had asked the CS to submit regular action taken reports to the court. About 6,395 religious structures have been identified as illegal across the state, and the CS had asked deputy commissioners or collectors of each district to start enforcing the court's orders. The Tehsildars were asked to demolish one structure a week in every taluk. The CS has been asked to file affidavits periodically, and failure to do so could well invite contempt. It is not an arbitrary decision. The removal of illegal religious structures applies to all religions. The order came in 2009, but it is the HC's prodding that has led to action in Karnataka. Those structures that were in existence before 2009 could be demolished or relocated or regularized, depending on circumstances, said a senior officer of the Revenue Department. As for those illegal structures that have come up after 2009, there is no other way than demolition, as they are illegal from the word go, having come up despite the Apex Court's order. Relocation and regularization are still the main ways of dealing with structures that were there before the SC order. Lists on this basis have been made and are being followed through with, he added. Egyptian scientists say the fossil of a four-legged prehistoric whale unearthed over a decade ago in the country's western desert is that of a previously unknown species. The creature, an ancestor of the modern-day whale, is believed to have lived 43 million years ago. The prehistoric whale, known as semi-aquatic because it lived both on land and sea, sported features of an accomplished hunter, the team's leading paleontologist Hisham Salam told the Associated Press, features that make it stand out among other whale fossils. The fossil was first found by a team of Egyptian environmentalists in 2008 in an area that was covered by seas in prehistoric times, but researchers only published their findings confirming a new species last month. Salam said that his team did not start examining the fossil until 2017 because he wanted to assemble the best and the most talented Egyptian paleontologists for the study. This is the first time in the history of Egyptian vertebrate paleontology to have an Egyptian team leading a documentation of a new genus and species of four-legged whales, said Salam. The fossil sheds light on the evolution of whales from herbivore land mammals into carnivorous species that today live exclusively in water. The transition took place over roughly 10 million years, according to an article published on the discovery in the journal Proceedings of the Royal Society B. Egypt's western desert region is already known for the so-called Whale Valley or Wadi al-Hitan, a tourist attraction and the country's only natural world heritage site that contains fossil remains of another type of prehistoric whales. The newly discovered creature belongs to the family of Protacetids, extinct semi-aquatic whales that lived from 59 to 34 million years ago, Salam said. It would have walked on land but also hunted in the water. The oldest fossil whales are about 50 million years old and are believed to have originated in modern-day Pakistan and India. However, scientists have not been able to reach a conclusive answer as to when whales moved out of their point of origin to all the world's oceans. The new species stands out for its elongated skull and snout that suggest it was an efficient carnivore capable of grasping and chewing its prey. It was about 3 meters or 9 feet long and weighed around 600 kilograms, according to researchers. It is also believed to have had sharp hearing and a sense of smell. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com. And do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening, stay safe, and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.